A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot accept because it neither sees nor knows him. But you know him, because he remains with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live and you will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. And whoever loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and reveal myself to him." The Gospel of the Lord. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. John's gospel today puts us back at the table with Jesus and his disciples at the Last Supper. What do you make of that statement? Is Jesus simply telling the boys to behave? Maybe. Keep my commandments is pretty important. But I think Jesus is most concerned with "if you love me." People who study human behavior categorize our motivations into two broad groups: external motivators and internal motivators. External motivators are those things that are outside of ourselves that cause us to do or not to do certain actions. External motivators are things like fear of punishment if we do the wrong thing, or fail to do the right thing. Like, I study because I'm afraid of flunking out and making my parents really mad at me. Or, I go to Mass because I'm afraid I might suffer eternal punishment if I don't. I call those people fire insurance Catholics. That kind of motivation is the least mature, coming from the lowest level of consciousness, simple survival instinct. Doing something out of desire for a reward also falls into the category of external motivator. I study hard because I want perfect grades at a prestigious school so I can get a great job and make lots of money. Or I go to Mass because I want to get to heaven. This motivation springs, perhaps, from a slightly higher consciousness than just fear of punishment. But it's only very slightly higher. Neither reward-seeking nor punishment-avoidance are motivations that go beyond oneself. They are self-centered motivations that lead to self-centered actions. My older brother Bernie had a long career as a psychotherapist. He used to tell me, "You know, we call it behavioral health because we don't care much about your internal experience. We just want you to behave." Jesus, I think, cares most about what's going on inside us, that we are seeking to know, to trust, to love him. He invites us to act from internal motivation, to live in a way that is born of the Spirit of truth already within us, the fruit of his grace, just waiting for us to recognize it and cooperate with it. I study hard because this is a tool for my service to others, which is where I am called to be. Or, I go to Mass to be closer to my beloved. I experience oneness in sacrament and community. I glimpse my ultimate completeness in unity with the source of all life. Doing what he taught, what he modeled for us, does two important things. It does demonstrate our love for Jesus, our willingness to accept and participate in divine love. He personifies it. But second, and I think more importantly, when we do what he invites us to do, when we offer ourselves as his active instruments, that is when we grow in our knowing, our trusting, our loving. Jesus is telling his disciples, telling us, that loving him is not merely an emotional exercise. It's a physical, a visceral, embodied experience, embodied in our bodies. It's an invitation to become a mystic. You see, mystics recognize God's presence right here, right now, and they trust it totally. That level of faith can empower one to do amazing things to heal the world. Our first reading today from Acts showed us one example. Philip, and I must point out, this is the deacon Philip, not the apostle. Philip begins to preach in Samaria. Samaria, you know, the place full of Samaritans. It's not friendly territory. Yet he enters the city without fear, and the people respond to his proclamation of the Christ. Philip, even though he's not one of the select 12, Philip still realizes his own call to evangelize anyone he encounters. He's a model telling us that everyone in the community is called to be an active evangelist. The call to become an evangelizing community still applies. It applies to each one of us individually, and it applies to all of us together as community. You might be thinking, but I'm not qualified. I'm not ready. I haven't studied theology, but if you know the Christ, you are ready. In our second reading, Peter's pretty explicit that we are to be ready. Always be ready, he says, to give an explanation to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope. Jose and Jacob are about to be given a job in the sacrament of baptism, the job of proclaiming Christ in their lives. It's the same job we were all given at our baptism. But first we have to understand well what Christian hope really means. It is not about security. It is not about reasoned optimism. It is precisely the opposite. It is total trust in God's ability to heal the world beyond anything we can imagine. That kind of hope enables us to answer, yes, I do, with actions, not just words, to Jesus, if you love me. He's not merely telling us to do the right thing. He's inviting us to trust so deeply that we do the right thing for the right reason. Go beyond fear of punishment, he says. Go beyond desire for reward. Come into loving relationship. Jesus is inviting us into such intimacy that we begin to act on his teachings because we, at the deepest level, want what he wants, that he lives in us and we in him. To accept that invitation is to act in accord with the divine spirit of truth already dwelling in each of us. It is the most genuine, the most trustworthy, and the most sacred of all motivations. Please, Let our communion today nourish that in all of us.